morning, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. Wild Card Wednesday. Yeah, Wild Card Wednesday. 312 area code requested the Lamont Cranston Band. That's their song, Upper Mississippi Shakedown. According to the texter, the band ruled the Minnesota music scene through the 70s and early 80s. All right. Lamont Cranston ruling the Minnesota music scene. All right. Wild Card Wednesday continues. 312-981-7200. So the National Toy Hall of Fame has announced their finalists for this year. And I have the list of all the inductees dating back to the original inductees, which covered 1998 and 99. So it's only been around that long. National Toy Hall of Fame was formed at the end of 98, beginning of 99. So that would be the reason why, I believe the reason why Gary and I had the, had them on, because it was the first year. So it's only been around that long, but we've got the latest finalists for the National Toy Hall of Fame. And I wanted to open up the phone lines and the text lines to you guys to talk about your favorite toys and what you think should be in the Hall of Fame. And I'll check to see if it is, in fact, in the Hall of Fame. And what toys you played with when you were a kid, what toys your kids like to play with now, and all that toy stuff in general. 312-981-7200. The Hall has revealed 12 finalists for the class of 2016 on Tuesday at the Strong Museum. And let's see. To be recognized by the Hall, toys must have lasted across generations, influenced the way toys are designed or played with, and fostered learning or creativity through play. So those were the ways to be included. Anyone can nominate a toy, and the Hall receives thousands of suggestion emails every year. Final selections are made on the advice of historians, educators, and other experts. And so last year, the parlor game Twister, the puppet, and the Super Soaker Squirt Gun were honored. So those were the ones that made it into the class of 2015, the Puppet, Twister, and the Super Soaker. I'm kind of surprised that the Puppet made it in 2015.
It should have been earlier, earlier.
I think it would be earlier, yeah.
Yeah, it's like one of the original toys.
And Twister. For some reason, I think Twister would have been in there earlier as well.
How long has that been around?
Twister?
Yeah.
God, I would say
50s.
50s. It's got to be, right? Late 50s, something like that. Because I know it was, it became hugely popular in the 60s and 70s. It was like it was, that's when it really hit its peak. But I think it was probably late 50s or something. So
I remember we were working together, and I think it was the year when the stick.
The stick is was inducted in.
It wasn't the first year. It was
2008.
Yeah,
the stick. It says the curators praised the stick for its all-purpose, no-cost recreational qualities, noting its ability to serve as raw material or an appendage transformed in myriads of ways by a child's creativity. So they included the stick. I mean, it got to the point. I mean, you know, it's true though. I mean, there were there were times when you played with a stick.
Yeah,
like, you know, now kids don't even know what that means.
No,
you know, go outside and play with a stick. What is it?
They don't know this phrase. Go outside and entertain yourself.
Yeah.
It's interesting, you know, how. I mean, whenever I don't see kids outside running around. I remember when I was younger. I mean, when I was a kid, we'd be outside all the time. Like in the summer, we would be outside until our parents would get on the back porch and start screaming that we need to come back home.
You only came home for two reasons: if you were bleeding.
Mm-hmm.
Or number two, you had to go number two. Yeah,
that's
food.
It. That's it.
Food.
Yeah.
We took our food with us. We didn't have
No. Food wasn't a big deal. But I love the fact. You're absolutely right, Veronica. You'd only come home if you were bleeding.
And only if you couldn't stop it on your own, you know?
Those were the days. All right, we got a break here. 312-981-7200. I have a list of the Toy Hall of Fame finalists. I'll tell you which ones are being considered for induction this year. And I've got all the inductees going back to the beginning in 1998. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. We'll talk toys after the break and the news, which is coming up next. Yeah.
Did someone actually pick Michael Bolton?
Veronica, you've not been here during Wild Card Wednesday. And there is a reason why it's called Wild Card Wednesday, because my listeners are sometimes goofy. And yes, somebody actually requested Michael Bolton in the 331 area code. Specifically, they wanted to hear Michael Bolton's Call My Name.
Okay. What's the guy that was on the covers of all the romance novels?
Fabio.
Fabio.
Yeah.
I always thought that the two of them were really the same person. Did you ever see them together?
No. Except, I don't think Michael Bolton ever got hit in the face with a pigeon, though. Do you remember when that happened to Fabio?
Yeah.
When he was on that roller coaster and, like, a bird smashed into his face?
Yeah. I don't think Michael Bolton had muscles either.
No, he didn't. He didn't. And now he no longer has the hair. But wasn't he dating a really hot...
Yeah, I'm trying to
Nicolette
remember.
Sheridan?
Yes, which was amazing to me.
Yeah. I don't understand it. I don't understand it.
That hair just killed me.
Yeah.
Well, and that was the era when the hair looked good long, but it did not look good on him or Fabio.
Yeah. Yeah. But, you know, the thing about Michael Bolton now is that he's now hip. Because he is ironic and kind of acknowledges that he's quote-unquote Michael Bolton. You know, I mean, he's been in, like, the Lonely Island guys, you know, the Andy Samberg and those guys. He's appeared in, like, three of their shorts, that the digital shorts that appeared on SNL. He was in one that was called Captain Jack Sparrow, and he was hysterical in that. He was also in Popstar, the movie that the Lonely Island guys made earlier this year, which, by the way, is a very funny movie. If you've not seen it.
It's on Prime right now.
It's
I should
very
see it.
Funny. It's yeah. I mean,
okay.
It's called Pop Star Never Stop Never Stopping, and you know, my parents saw it with my parents, and they didn't understand any of the references at all, because it's really, you know, it's about music and pop culture now. So a lot of the references and stuff my parents didn't get, but they still thought it was funny. And my parents are in their 70s, and they still thought it was funny. They didn't get a lot of it. I had to explain some of the jokes to them because it was like, you know, and some of it I was like, yeah, well, I'm in my 50s, and I don't understand what the hell's going on now. But it's still very, very funny. Yeah, Michael Bolton's in that, too. So, all right, 331 area code wanted some Michael Bolton. Well, all right, Wild Card Wednesday. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. How you doing, everybody? Nick DiGilio. We're here till 5 o'clock. And Steve Grzanich with the opening bell at 5 and the great Steve Cochran at 6. And we're talking about the National Toy Hall of Fame. They have announced their finalists for this year. The inductees will be announced on November 10th. So we're talking about toys, your favorite toys, toys that you played with when you were a kid. And I will now read off the finalists. 12 finalists. See if you guys agree with some of these, and which ones would you vote? This year's 12 finalists for the Toy Hall of Fame. Bubble Wrap is on the list. Created by accident in 1957 by two engineers who were attempting to develop a new kind of wallpaper. Bubble Wrap. So
people still play with that.
Every time I get a package and there's bubble wrap in it, I pop every single one of them.
My son recently left a bunch on his floor.
Yeah.
And every time he walked into his bedroom, you know, middle of the night, whatever, it would start popping. And it sounded like gunshots.
Have you seen Ace Ventura, Pet Detective?
Yeah.
All right. Do you remember the scene where, like, he's pretending to be insane and he wants to, like, investigate the insane asylum?
Mm-hmm.
And he walks into, like, a storage room. And there's bubble wrap on the floor, and
yeah.
he starts jumping around because he thinks it's gunshots.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so bubble wrap. All right, I guess that makes sense. Care Bears.
Perfect.
They began as a line of greeting cards in the early 80s, but evolved into a brand whose bears star in storybooks, television shows, and games. So the Care Bears. All right.
They were all over our place and our grandkids. Love watching the movies.
Yeah, it's lost on me, but I'm not of that era. The coloring book. New York printer McLaughlin Brothers is credited with inventing the books that have enjoyed renewed popularity lately with the adult-oriented versions featuring complex designs. The coloring book. Again, I'm surprised the coloring book is not already
exactly.
In the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
Has anybody ever invented a dirty coloring book? That would be actually kind of funny.
I'm sure there are some. Oh, listen how quickly Roger answered that
question.
Well,
there's a coloring book for everything.
Oh, yeah. There's a lot of adult coloring books. Come by my garage. I'll show you.
I'm having a sale.
What the hell, man? But I'm surprised the coloring book is not in there. But it is interesting that the adult coloring books are huge now.
Bridget's got one at rehab. She loves it.
Yeah.
No, with the colored pencils.
People really enjoy those things.
Yeah.
How about this? The game Clue.
That's not already...
Yeah, not in there. The game that invites players to solve a murder remains a bestseller nearly 70 years?
It's older than me.
Are you kidding? Clue is 70 years old? Wow. It had to have changed, right? It must have been...
I bet you it didn't. Except new graphics, maybe.
There was a story a few months ago about how they dropped Mrs. White, and they replaced her with Dr. Violet, who was a biochemist or something. And
They wanted to bring a female character of...
Right, of stature,
yeah.
Not just
yeah.
Socialite.
So Clue, I can't believe Clue is 70 years old. I love that game, man. When we used to play that when I was a kid, I loved Clue. Did you guys see the movie?
Oh, I love it. It's hilarious.
The movie. I'm not as big a fan as a lot of people are of the movie. I think some of it is funny. I think Tim Curry is amazing in it. Tim Curry is absolutely amazing.
Tim Curry is amazing anyway.
Yep, you're absolutely right. And of course, the beautiful, the wonderful, the late, the brilliant, perhaps the funniest woman that's ever lived, Madeline Kahn, is in it. It's got a great cast. Now, I don't know if you guys remember when it came out in the theater. Upon its theatrical release in 85 or 86, I can't remember what year, one of those years, it had three different endings.
Yes.
And you would go, they had, some theaters were showing ending A, some theaters were showing ending B, and some theaters were showing ending C. And the idea was, you know, the Paramount's idea was that people will love this movie so much, they'll go back and see it two more times just so they can see the ending. That didn't happen.
No. But then they included them on the VHS version,
yeah,
which is where I saw it.
Yeah, they screened all three for the critics. So when at the critics screening, we got to see all three endings.
And when it plays on cable, they show all three.
It could have ended like this, or it could have ended like that. And there are some great. I will admit there are some great moments in the movie, and some funny moments. Overall, I think it's a little inconsistent. But God, Tim Curry is funny. When the scene where he's reenacting and explaining what happened to everybody, and everybody's running from room to room with him.
Perfect.
And he's trying to explain, you know, what could have happened. It's fantastic. Fantastic. Martin Mull is in that movie. Michael McKean. I'm trying to remember who else was in that. Eileen Brennan. I mentioned Madeline Kahn. Colleen Camp. She played the hot French maid. Jeez, there was it was an all-star cast. It was in that movie. I'm trying to remember. Jonathan Lynn directed it. Jonathan Lynn, who would go on to direct My Cousin Vinny, which is a stellar comedy. And Jonathan Lynn is actually a really, really solid comedic director. He's directed a lot of really funny movies. So, yeah. Anyway, so Clue is on the list to be inducted into the Hall of Fame. Dungeons & Dragons, the 1970s role-playing game featuring imaginary worlds of magic and monsters, influenced today's computer game industry. Dungeons & Dragons is on the list of possible inductees. Never played the game once in my life.
Mm-mm.
It's still modern because the Stranger Things, that show, they start off playing Dungeons.
Yeah. Did you watch that show, Veronica?
Yes. Yeah, I liked it.
Oh, my God. I loved it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. How great are these kids?
Fantastic.
Have you seen this Millie Bobby Brown, the girl who played Eleven? Did you see when they appeared on Jimmy Fallon and she rapped?
No.
She did Monster by Nicki Minaj. I'm telling you, if I were 12 years old, I would have the most massive crush on this girl. She is unbelievable. And they also did a pre-show for the Emmys, which you can see video of it, where three of the kids, including Millie, came out and did a version of Uptown Funk.
Oh, wow.
And if you can see, these kids are unbelievable. And that show ruled. Can't wait.
When is it coming? When's the next one coming out?
Not until next year.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh,
so, but season two. But, I mean, that thing took off out of nowhere. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, it had no draw to it. I mean, it was on Netflix, but it had really no draw to it. Nobody knew who the creators were, the Duffer Brothers. Nobody knew who these kids were. I mean, Winona Ryder doesn't really,
she's not a big draw anymore.
No, not a big. Neither is Matthew Modine. And they were, like, the two big names in it.
And
then
it
just took off.
The description of it, you know, when you read what it was going to be about, because I hesitated a few times looking at it going, this doesn't even sound good.
Yeah.
But then it was.
I watched it in 2 days. I finished it. I finished it in 2 days. And I thought it was great. I can't wait for the next. And if you can see the footage of Millie Bobby Brown and the kids on Jimmy Fallon. When they're if you see it, they play a game with Silly String, and they, you know, because Jimmy Fallon is a 9-year-old, they play with Silly String, and then she ends up rapping, and it's phenomenal. And then if you can see the kids, the video is out there online at Sunday night's Emmys. Like as people were coming in and taking their seats, they came out on stage and performed Uptown Funk. They're incredibly talented kids. It's terrific. Okay, I'll finish off reading the 12 nominees for the Hall of Fame, and then we'll talk more. And we got people on the line. Everybody hang on. We're going to talk toys, Toy Hall of Fame, everything coming up. 312-981-7200. Talk and text for toys, your favorite toys, what should be in the Hall of Fame. And Wild Card Wednesday continues as well. Yeah. Morning, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. How you doing? Wild Card Wednesday continues. Yeah, Wild Card Wednesday, yeah. That's like a Fly Jam Friday song right there. 872 area code requests New Editions. Not My Kind of Girl. Not My Kind of Girl. A little New Edition for you. Yeah. What the hell happened there? All right. Hey, we're talking toys, and I'm going down the list of the 12 possible the 12 finalists that may be inducted in November to the National Toy Hall of Fame. We'll get back to that list in a second, but we got some people who've been hanging on. I want to get to them. Here's Duke on WGN. Hey, Duke.
Hey, good morning. How are you?
All right, sir. What's up?
Okay, I collect and operate Lionel trains.
Ah, yes.
And another one is a box. A cardboard box.
Now, I don't know if a cardboard box is on the list.
Actually, the cardboard box was part of the class of 2005.
Oh, okay. So cardboard box did make it. See, you know what? Back in the day, kids only needed a stick and a cardboard box, and they could play for 12 hours straight.
That's correct.
Yes. By the way, Lionel Trains, Duke, are not in the Hall of Fame.
You're kidding me.
Oh, I'm sorry. That was a typo by me. They are class of 2006.
Oh, they are. Oh, by the way, 2006. Oh. It took them that long to get in?
Jesus.
It took them like 8 years to put Lionel Trains in? You got to be kidding me.
Whoa.
So, all right. Okay, Duke, thanks, man.
Thank you.
Take care. Doesn't Lyle Dean do the train thing?
I don't know if it was Lyle. I remember Bob Bros, morning engineer Bob Bros did.
I think Lyle Dean did too.
What train thing? What?
He collect Lionel trains.
Oh, like he collects. He's a collector.
Oh, yeah. I think. Is Lyle listening? No, Lyle has no reason to be up
There's
at this
no
hour.
There's no reception on the yacht.
There's no reception on the yacht. God, I love Lyle Dean. That guy was great to work with, man. He was great. All right. Look at this. Here's Dan on WGN. Hey, Dan.
Yes. Hello.
Hi.
I had a Tonka truck that had a dump box. It dumped.
Well, all right. That'd be 351, Dan, in case anybody's listening for out of context. So the Tonka trucks, by the way, Dan, they were inducted in 2001.
Okay.
Yeah, so they're in the Hall of Fame already. Been in the Hall of Fame for a long time. But was that your favorite toy when you were growing up, the Tonka trucks?
Yes, indeed.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. I had them too. They were a lot of fun. Okay, Dan, thanks.
Thank you.
Take care. 312-981-7200. We're talking toys in the Toy Hall of Fame. All right, here's the other ones that we've got. So far, we've gone through Bubble Wrap, Care Bears, Coloring Book, Clue, Dungeons & Dragons. That's so far what's being considered to be inducted. Next is Fisher-Price Little People, a wooden version first rode the safety school bus in 59, and then brightly painted figures were given arms and legs in the 1990s. Fisher-Price Little People. All right, next on the list, and this is one, seriously, I can't believe is not in the hall. And it's got to be inducted. Nerf.
Yeah.
How is it possible that Nerf balls are not in the Toy Hall of Fame?
Should have been amongst the first ones.
I agree. It says the foam balls are safe enough to throw indoors. They were first introduced in the 60s. Next on the list is pinball.
What?
Pinball. The machines have been made long. They've been a mainstay at bars, amusement parks, and arcades, with players using flippers to launch steel balls through mazes. So pinball. Now, I don't know. See, the thing about that is, you know, unless you're of a certain financial background, you're not going to have a pinball machine at home to play with.
Well, no, but you go to any play area, and there's got to be pinball machines around.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I understand the impact, but I just don't. To me, a toy is something that you have in the house. You play with it. You know.
And now you could play on the smartphone. I downloaded pinball machines on my iPhone a month ago.
I understand that. I understand that. How about this? Rock'em Sock'em Robots.
Yeah.
Competitors throw mechanical punches in an effort to knock the block off their opponent's blocker.
I love those commercials.
Yep, Rock'em Sock'em Robots. How about this? The swing. Found in ancient cave drawings in Europe. And it was on ceramic vases from Greece and in playgrounds and backyards everywhere, the swing.
You know, when I was growing up, the swing was a sport. How high could you go?
Oh, we would always try to see if we can
flip around. Yeah,
flip around. That was nice and dangerous. Next, Transformers. Hasbro's shape-changing action figures are featured in comic books, games, breakfast cereals, and movies, the latest of which is due out in June. There's another damn Transformers movie coming out. That's right.
Oh, yeah. They're trying to do the whole building, universe building, where there's going to be one, like, one every 2 years.
God, come on, man.
And most of them, haven't they been set in Chicago?
Well,
sort of.
Some of, well, two of them. They shot two of them here, I remember. Yeah. God, those movies suck. And finally, Uno, the 1971 game where players dispose of their cards in their hands and hold steadily. It's been holding steadily for more than four decades. Uno, one of my favorite card games of all time. So those are the nominees. They are the finalists. Bubble Wrap, Care Bears, Coloring Book, Clue, Dungeons & Dragons, Fisher-Price Little People, Nerf, Pinball, Rock'em Sock'em Robots, The Swing, Transformers, and Uno.
Now, how many do they put in each year out of that?
It just depends.
Really?
It changes every year. In some years, I'm looking back here, some years it was only two, some it was four, some it's three. Mostly, and I'm looking at, it's mostly been three that you look at, sometimes two. So it just depends.
I would go with Swing, Nerf, and I'm trying to spread it out because I think what they do is they take like one from one era, one from another era, and one from a later era. I would go Swing, Nerf, and Care Bears.
And Care Bears. You would take a Care Bear over a coloring book.
Well, we already got the Swing in there from the older.
Oh, okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, see, I would pick the older stuff immediately just to get it in.
Yeah.
Just to get it in. Yeah. So, all right. Let's see. We got some text coming in. 312 area code says, I had a howdy doody marionette. The strings got so tangled that I never did get them to do. He never could get them to do anything. Yeah. That's creepy having one of those things in the house. 262 area code says, I loved my Evel Knievel stunt cycle in the mid 70s. I had one of those. If you grew up in the 70s, at one point you loved Evel Knievel. And you look back at it and the guy was an idiot.
You know, I just saw a story 2 days ago.
Yeah.
Somebody did cross the Snake River Canyon. They did the Evel Knievel jump.
Oh, they did.
And they made it.
Wow. Okay. And that did not make the news, whereas when he tried it in the 70s,
right.
it was on all three networks, and it was, you know. And then Robert says, creepy crawlers and my Bunsen burner set. Could you imagine if they tried to sell that today? We'll get into that in a little bit, dangerous toys from the past, because... it's amazing that people my age and older survive their childhood without dying or losing a limb. So, all right, we got to take a break. We got the news coming up next, and then we'll go back to talking toys and the Toy Hall of Fame. 312-981-7200 for your comments. 312-981-7200. News next.
I think I would like this segment. You don't know what you're going to hear.
That's why it's crazy. Wild Card Wednesday is what it is. Yeah, Wild Card Wednesday. Every Wednesday. 847 wanted to hear Engelbert Humperdinck for some reason. Spanish Eyes.
You okay in there?
Yeah.
I'm trying to remember what name. My mom loved Engelbert Humperdinck. My dad had a weird, just kind of jacked up name for him. I'm trying to remember.
Wait a minute. So wait, Engelbert Humperdinck is not a weird enough jacked up name?
He made it even worse, and he did it on purpose just to annoy her.
Yeah.
He'd say it like that's how he thought the name was supposed to be said.
Right.
And she would, you know, like screech at him.
That's not how it's Engelbert Humperdinck, damn it.
Yeah. I don't know, Humpersnitchel or something like that.
Hey, it's Nick DiGilio here on 720 WG. And hi, good morning, everybody. We're here till 5 a.m. Steve Grzanich with the opening bell at 5 and Steve Cochran at 6 with your morning drive. Our phone number is 312-981-7200. We're going to get back to talking about the Hall of Fame for toys, Toy Hall of Fame. And we would love to hear the toys that you loved when you were a kid or what you played with when you were a kid. 312-981-7200. And, of course, as we mentioned, their Wild Card Wednesday continues. So one more brief reminder of what the finalists are for the Toy Hall of Fame this year. And, the announcement will be on November 10th, which will actually be the inductees. Bubble Wrap, Care Bears, Coloring Book, Clue, Dungeons & Dragons, Fisher-Price Little People, Nerf, Pinball, Rock'em Sock'em Robots, The Swing, Transformers, and Uno.
I'm going for the Little People.
You like the Little People?
We loved those things as kids.
Fisher-Price Little People.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
I think my mom still has some.
I never got into, I don't think I ever had the Fisher-Price Little People.
My brother loved the garage, you know, with all the cars and all that stuff.
When I was a kid, I mean, G.I. Joe was the deal. And it wasn't the little weird G.I. Joes, the little teeny G.I. Joes with the Cobra dudes and all that. Hey, Dan, you're of the younger G.I. Joe. What's the deal with the G.I. Joe toys? There was like the Cobra dude.
Right.
Was the bad guy.
King Cobra.
Yeah. King Cobra.
Right.
Oh, King Cobra's a malt liquor. Maybe it's King Cobra. I don't know what
Command.
I know.
Cobra Commander.
Oh, Cobra Commander. Yeah, King Cobra is a malt liquor. That's a 40 that I used to drink when I was. So
see where my mind
went. Yeah. So, but it was like almost sci-fi kind of, right? It wasn't like adventure, right?
Right, right. You know, I mean, Cobra Commander was a fool and awful, you know. But G.I. Joe. It became more about the TV show funneling into the
toy
sales as opposed to what past generations do as, you know, the 6 foot, you know, strong buzz cut.
Yeah, the original G.I. Joe was a full size. That was like 14 inches tall, like a full size action figure. Lifelike hair is what they and, you know, lifelike hair and beard. And it was based on the fact that he was in the Army.
Right.
And you know. That's what the deal was. It was very realistic. I had the G.I. Joe headquarters. I had the submarine. I had all that stuff. But now, didn't they used to have like lessons that right. you learn at the end of each episode of G.I. Joe?
At the end of every episode of G.I. Joe was a little life lesson based upon the skill set of the Joe in the little vignette.
Right. There were different Joes.
Right. So, you know, the guy who handled electricity reminded people, you know, don't touch a live wire that fell in the middle of the road. And
right.
the guy in the scuba suit reminded you not to swim in lakes when there was a thunderstorm.
Right.
And it was always followed by the tag. You know, knowing is half the battle, G.I. Joe.
That's right. So that was they were little less life lessons at the end of each episode of G.I. Joe.
Well, that was to make the cartoon educational.
Well, yeah.
Because it had to meet that.
I mean, I honestly, it saved my life many, many times.
See, in the 70s, when I was growing up, we didn't have any of that. We were encouraged to try and kill each other. That was, if you didn't come home from a day of playing, and you didn't need stitches, you didn't accomplish anything that day. That's the seriously. I mean, you know, I grew up next to L-Trax. And, you know, like if you're, I've said this before, the greenhouse right next to west of the Addison stop on the Brown Line is the house I grew up in. I grew up in the second floor of that house, in the second floor apartment of that house. Right next to the L-Trax. And in the winters, there are condos now on the other side, on the east side of those L-Trax. There are now condos there. But that used to be a mobile car wash / gas station. And during the winters, particularly in the winter of 1979, early 1979, when we got the blizzard of 79, they would plow all the snow into and leave it, and they would plow it under the L-Trax. So there'd be this giant mountain of snow that we would play on, and we would get our sleds and our little like garbage can lid things, and we would slide out into Addison. Like, we would slide down, fly out into Addison, right into the middle of the street. And this was just like a common thing. And not only that, the snow was high enough where we could reach up and touch the tracks. Like, so we were inches away from frying ourselves on the third rail on a daily basis and getting hit by a truck because we're sliding out onto the street. And this was fine. And this was, and there was no supervision. Like, my parents would be in the house. All my friends' parents would, they'd be home. We're sliding out into the middle of a main thoroughfare in Chicago and almost getting electrocuted on the third rail. This is the kind of stuff we did.
Sounds like a fun day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And when I was a kid and we rode bikes, no helmets,
mm-hmm.
no pads, none
right.
of that. None of that. And we would ride around in alleys. We would jump the bikes on makeshift ramps and fall into broken glass. This was just it was common.
Did you have a banana bike, banana seat?
I did. Yes, I did.
Yeah.
Yes. And then we'd go home. You had a cut. Your mom would put Mercurochrome on it, and you'd scream for an hour and a half,
mm-hmm.
and then you'd go back out. And the Mercurochrome would leave a nice orange stain on your leg.
Yeah,
and that stuff was just, that was the, what was the other one? Mercurochrome, and what was the other one that was, why am I blanking on that? There's another one that was very similar.
Peroxide? No.
No, not peroxide.
No, it was another red.
Yeah, it was Mercurochrome and not iodine.
Iodine? Yeah, iodine.
I think there was one.
We called Mercurochrome monkey blood. I don't know why. I have no idea why.
Monkey blood?
That's what we'd get injured and we'd say, Mom, can you put some monkey blood on me?
Are you sure that's not the name your dad came up with for Engelbert Humperdinck?
My family has lots of names, so.
Monkey blood? I have never heard that before, ever.
To this day, my mother will still refer to it as monkey blood.
Now, do you remember the process upon which it was put on?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It was a
glass.
Stick. It was a stick.
Yeah, but yep. It was a glass applicator.
On. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It was a good. Yeah, no,
it was stuck inside the.
It was in a little glass jar,
right? Mm-hmm.
Which was always sticky because the stuff would drip out along the sides.
Yep.
And then you take it out, and it was a stick.
Yeah.
That you would apply onto the cut. This is the. So.
Not a dropper.
A stick.
Yeah.
Just, you know, and that stuff was painful. I mean, it was the most painful feeling ever. But you apply it with a stick. Like, here you go. And not only are you going to be in pain because this stuff will kill you.
But you're poking your wound.
Exactly right. Oh, man. I don't know. Now, I brought this up many times before, but in addition to going outside and doing things, you know, that could kill you within seconds of being outside, other fantastic toys include the wood-burning kit.
Yep,
which is essentially a soldering iron. It's like, mm-hmm. how you doing? I was 7 years old when I got a wood burning kit. It's a soldering iron. That's all it is. It's you plug it into the wall. The tip gets hotter than the surface of the sun, and then you burn things into wood. And it's only a matter of time before you test it out on your sister's dolls and whatever else is in the house. I'm an only child, so I didn't have to do. I'm sure I would have done that had I had sisters. But it's amazing that we didn't get killed. And then, of course, you know, you got the chemistry set. With the Bunsen burner and all the liquid and all that, said, hey, let's test this out and see what it tastes like.
Or mixing the chemicals together, not knowing what the reaction would be with the two of them, because you had no idea what chemistry
exactly.
was.
Nope.
Yeah,
but those were educational tools.
Oh, of course.
Yeah, the wood burning kit was artistic.
Did I ever tell you my experience with electronics?
Well, you can't right now because you have to tell me the traffic.
I'll do
but
that.
But you can do that after.
Okay.
Tell us after. Oh, God. Yeah, all right. That's enough. Bob requested sticks, best of times for Lyons Township High School's class of 81. They're having their 35th reunion this weekend. All right. Congratulations on that. Don't request it anymore. All right. Nick DiGilio here on Wild Card Wednesday. Any song, any artist, any time. That just proves it. Yeah, Wild Card Wednesday. 312-981-7200 is the phone number we're talking about. By the way, methylate was the other name for Mercurochrome.
Oh, methylate, yeah.
Yeah. That was the other one I was trying to think of, was methylate and Mercurochrome. And I was looking at it on it because it was driving me nuts, so I looked it up. I Googled it.
Mm-hmm.
And evidently... I don't know if Veronica's near the mic, but evidently monkey blood is not exclusive to Veronica's family.
Oh, really?
It seemed to be a term that was used when I was looking for the other name for Mercurochrome or methylate.
Uh-huh.
Monkey blood did come up. So I guess it was a
very widespread, though.
I guess. I never heard of it before. No. In all the years that I had mercurochrome and methylate slapped all over me, I'd never heard it as monkey blood. So, but it's apparently it was relatively common. Huh. We're talking about toys and the Hall of Fame of toys. And let me quickly, before we get to the text, we have a ton of texts here, and we've got people who are calling in. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. I will go down the entire list of what's inducted in the Hall of Fame. From the very first inductees all the way through the class of 2015. So these are the original inductees: Barbie, the Crayola crayon, the Erector set sketch, the Erector set, Etch-a-Sketch, the Frisbee, the Hula Hoop, Lego, Lincoln Logs, Marbles, Monopoly, Play-Doh, Radio Flyer Wagon, Roller Skates, Teddy Bear, Tinker Toy, Viewmaster, and the Duncan Yo-Yo. Those were the original inductees. Class of 2000, the Bicycle, Jax, Jump Rope, Mr. Potato Head, and Slinky. Class of 2001, Silly Putty and Tonka Trucks. Class of 2002 was the Jigsaw Puzzle and Raggedy Ann. And her induction that year came after a full year of campaigning from fans. So does that include Raggedy Andy? Does Raggedy Andy, does he get to, oh, he gets inducted later. Okay. 2003, Alphabet Blocks and Checkers. 2004, G.I. Joe. The G.I. Joe brand overwhelmed the competition in Playthings magazine in that poll, which nominated the toy most deserved to be honored. The Rocking Horse and Scrabble along with... Now, when they inducted G.I. Joe, it's the original G.I. Joe, right? The real G.I. Joe, not the G.I. Joe with Cobra Kai.
Hey, real as a...
The real original one, like the one you had.
Like the real G.I. Joe, yeah. Not the Cobra.
I would still classify my G.I. Joe and all their life lessons as very real.
Did you find any of those life lessons?
Yeah, give me a second.
All right. 2005, area code Candyland, the Cardboard Box, and the Jack in the Box. Oh, big,
a lot of boxes.
Big year for the box. Yeah. And I see that Veronica is back at the mic. Veronica, did you hear what I said?
I heard you talking about monkey blood.
Yeah, it is. It's not uncommon.
Oh, really?
Yes, because because methylate was the thing I was trying to think of.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
It was mercurochrome and methylate. And so when I looked up the, because it was driving me crazy during the commercial break in the news, I checked it out, and the term monkey blood came up on the search.
Really?
So evidently it wasn't exclusive to your family.
I thought my family, well, my family is insane, but I just figured that was one of the examples of it.
Right. Well, they're not that insane, though.
Well, you know, my mother always used to say 4011. Whenever there were a lot of people, she'd always say, oh, there's 4011 people down there.
Okay, that I have never heard of.
Then I heard John Denver say it in a song one time, and I almost drove off the road.
Wait a minute, seriously?
Yes.
4011?
4011 means a lot in Okie speak, apparently.
Oh, okay. All right.
Although he was from Colorado?
He was from Colorado, I think. Yeah. Well, he sang about Colorado a lot. So.
I'm going to have to look that up. Maybe he was. Maybe he was an Okie.
Okay.
I'm going to have to tell my mother monkey blood is real.
Monkey blood is in monkey
she'll
blood.
She'll say, I know.
Yeah, she'll say, you know how many people say that? 4011. That's exactly what she's going to say. Class of 2006, Easy Bake Oven and the Lionel Trains. Class of 2007, the Atari 2600, the Kite and Raggedy Andy. Class of 2008, the aforementioned Stick, the Baby Doll and the Skateboard. Class of 2009, the Ball. The Ball?
That should have been the first one.
What it was
with the stick.
I don't understand.
Didn't cavemen invent that?
Yeah, I think so. The Game Boy and the Big Wheel. Class of 2010, playing cards and the game of life. 2011, Hot Wheels. Hot Wheels, wait, they were not until 2011? That was the other thing that was big. When I was a kid, it was G.I. Joe and Hot Wheels.
Yeah.
The Dollhouse and the Blanket. 2012, Star Wars action figures and dominoes. 2013 Hall of Fame, Chess and the Rubber Duck. Well, Ernie was happy. 2014, Little Green Army Men, Bubbles in the Rubik's Cube, and last year, as we mentioned, the Puppet, Twister, and the Super Soaker.
You know what's missing so far, even from this year's nominees?
What?
The Rock.
Yeah, well...
I don't mean the wrestler.
I was going to say, I don't think Dwayne Johnson wants to be inducted.
No. The Rock. How many things did we build out in the dirt?
Well, how many windows did we break, and how many heads did we split open?
Exactly.
Yeah, I didn't build anything. I usually whipped them at people.
That was, yeah, but that was used as a toy.
Yeah,
a flying projectile toy.
Or, or weapon, in my case.
Yeah.
Real quick. People want us to let us know that the John Denver song is Grandmother's Featherbed that mentions 4011.
Ah, that's right.
Grandmother's Featherbed.
You've never heard that song?
I don't think so.
Oh, you got to listen to it.
It's a snappy little tune.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, I'm not a big John Denver guy.
And people are requesting Roger. Before the break, we teased a Roger story.
Oh, about him getting electrocuted?
Yes.
All right, go ahead, Roger. We got a couple minutes.
Well, I loved electronics, and I always wanted to see how things work, which, again, was a toy kind of thing. How do things work? So all my toys were broken. So one day I decided to see how a clock radio worked and opened up the back of it and had a screwdriver with me and thought to myself, I wonder what would happen if I touch this with that. Next thing I know, I'm lying on the floor and my dad's yelling at me, "What the hell did you just do?" And I blew every circuit in the house.
Wait, you stuck a screwdriver into the thing as it was plugged in?
As it was plugged in, yes.
That's brilliant.
Yeah. I actually touched one end to another circuit, one circuit to another circuit, with the screwdriver.
Okay.
I learned how things work.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. That'll do it for you. All right. It's a good thing that you didn't go into the electronics business.
That's true.
Yeah. Mark says, what about Voltron? Okay, Voltron. Yeah. Hey, if Transformers are nominated, Voltron should be nominated. Sharky says Silly Putty ruled. Yeah, Silly Putty was great. And all right, we got to take a break here. We got the news coming up. After the news, we got more toys in the Hall of Fame. We got phone calls coming in and texts coming in, and Wild Card Wednesday will continue. Don't know what is going to be next. 312-981-7200. News next. All right. Is this the first song that was requested that I liked this morning? That's the Zac Brown Band featuring Chris Cornell. It's called Heavy as the Head. That song's a jam.
You can't go wrong with that.
No. That song is a jam. And Sean requested that. Dan, did we have...
Yeah, you're Too Shy.
Oh, Too Shy by Kaja.
I can't vote in your corner on that one.
You can't, but you're going to go with me on the Zac Brown.
Yeah.
Zac Brown Band, those guys rule. And that Chris Cornell, you know, please. What are you going to say about that?
Love him.
He's awesome. Completely. So there you go. And we'll have one more, right, before we get out of here? One more Wild Card Wednesday request? You never know what's going to happen on Wild Card Wednesday. All right. Hey, here's the deal. Our contest line is 312-591-7000, 312-591-7000. And the reason I tell you it's 312-591-7000 is because if you're the fifth caller on that line, you get yourself a pair of tickets to go to the sold-out Chicago Blackhawks Training Camp Festival, which is this Saturday the 24th inside the United Center. Now, the Outdoor Free Festival starts at 8 a.m., and the doors open at 9 a.m. If you're one of the first 10,000 fans, you get yourself a Brent Seabrook bobblehead. And I've got a Siebes bobblehead, and it's pretty awesome. So right now, the contest line wide open, 312-591-7000, 312-591-7000. Fifth caller on the contest line will get the tickets for the training center for the training camp festival this weekend on the contest line. Once again, 312-591-7000. And if you've never been to the training camp festival, it's a blast. It's a great way to kick off hockey season. And, you know, it's sold out. It's been sold out for a while, but I got a pair of tickets for you right now. So caller number five at 312-591-7000 on the contest line will win. So, all right, we got some more texts coming in here. Dirk the Cop says, G.I. Joe is my all-time favorite. We'd have them for 3 or 4 months, and then we'd use them as crash dummies and test pilots. They'd end up burnt and in pieces in the garbage. 6 to 8 months later, we'd get another one, and the cycle would repeat. Yeah, I was pretty destructive with my G.I. Joes, too. I set them on fire. I blew them up. You know, stick cherry bombs in them and see what happens, that kind of stuff. But, yeah, we were always pretty destructive with our toys, at least my friends and I were. 708 area code says, I love the remote control helicopters from the 60s and 70s. They weren't very good and you'd crash all the time, but everyone, including the adults, wanted to play with them. It's true. It's true. Now those adults have drones. 606 area code says, remember the rolls of caps for toy guns? I used to buy them and then smash the roll with a hammer. It was kind of like a small firecracker. It was big entertainment then. Yeah, that's true. And they had a great, I used to like to get the caps and because they had a great smell after you would pop the cap.
They did.
They would smell great. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I always liked that. Hey, by the way, we got a winner. You can stop calling in. Our final pair of tickets to the sold-out Chicago Blackhawks Training Camp Festival went to Richard. Congratulations, Richard. You will be attending the Training Camp Festival this Saturday. And if you've never been, it's a blast. And get there early to get your Siebes bobblehead. So there you go. All right. Now, Dan and I have we've been having conversations about G.I. Joe. But Eric has found some old G.I. Joes. Hey, Eric.
Good morning.
Morning.
I had two quick comments. I'm 53 years old, and I was cleaning out my mother's attic, and I came across my G.I. Joe Command Center, the Foot Locker, and the Jeep. And
oh,
I opened
man.
Stuff up, and it was like taking a trip back to when I was, 11 years old.
Yeah, absolutely.
The Command Center was the coolest thing.
There was nothing better. There was nothing better than the headquarters, the Command Center. It was the coolest.
Yeah,
it was absolutely the coolest thing ever.
Yeah, it opened up. It had like a big belt buckle on the front.
Right.
And then you open it up like for a suitcase, and you would open it up, and it had, world maps inside. It had this chair that was hooked up to like a fire pole so he could go up to this watchtower.
That's right, yeah.
And I was looking inside the Foot Locker, and it had, it had an outline of all the gear in its specific spot in the
right.
Foot Locker.
Exactly.
It had like an M1 carbine, a 45, a bayonet, and then an instruction book on how to kill commies and all sorts of stuff.
Oh, yeah, boy. Those were great, man. Those were the best.
Yeah, I had ordered a dumpster for my mom's house. I'm thinking, all right, I'm going to clear all this stuff out that's all junk. And I looked at this. I'm like, I can't throw this away.
No,
this
you got to keep that.
Yeah, my G.I. Joe Command Center.
You got to keep that. You got to.
And then you were talking, my other comment quickly was that you're talking about doing dangerous things as a kid. And
yeah.
I had one of those spider bikes with, the banana seat.
Mm-hmm.
There was not a plastic part on the bike. It was all metal.
Right.
And we had, there was a subdivision that was going up, and the construction company made this gigantic hill with, road graders and bulldozers and stuff. And kids are like, oh, let's go down it with our bikes. So I was going down this hill, and I think I got up to about 50 miles an hour. I wiped out on the bike. And I was head to toe in blood. I had dirt in my mouth. I couldn't even ride my bike home. I had to walk it home about four or five blocks. And that was the thing I was concerned about. It's like, oh, my new bike is all damaged.
Right.
I got home, and I was literally head to toe in blood. My mom looked at me, and she's like, okay, get in the tub. And she pulled out that Mercura Chrome.
There you go.
It made your injury look actually worse than what it was after
That's
they
right.
put it on. Because it was like red, like you're covered in red paint.
Yeah.
I was thinking, if that happened to me today, they would be helicoptering me out to the nearest trauma center.
Probably. Oh, yeah. No, but you just made it home. They slapped some Mercura Chrome on you, and that was it. The next day, you were back out.
Right. So she just looked at me and said, oh, what happened? I said, oh, I fell off my bike, and she's like, okay, we'll get in the tub. And there was no emergency room visit. There was no doctor, no nothing.
Nope. That's,
so,
that's
anyway, that was my two cents.
Okay, Eric, I appreciate it. Take care.
Okay, bye-bye.
See you. All right. G.I. Joe. Dan and I have been talking back and forth here. I, of course, say that the G.I. Joe of my era is the real G.I. Joe.
And I contend that they're all real G.I. Joes. They're true American heroes,
with,
the Joey O.
With the
all of them.
With the Cobra Kai. Or what? No, that's Karate
Cobra
Kid.
Commander.
Cobra Kai. That's Karate Kid.
Yeah.
But your G.I. Joe, they had their little cartoon.
They did.
And they would have lovely life lessons. We have some of those life lessons?
We do have some. We should point out that this was the mid to late 80s when stereotypes were kind of okay, I guess.
Okay, so we're going to hear a few stereotypes. Don't be offended.
Yeah, don't be offended.
Don't be offended. Here we go. G.I. Joe's life lessons.
This first one's about the importance of not walking on frozen lakes.
Hey, Joey, watch this. Davey, come back. The ice can break. You're breaking my heart. Help me.
Hold it. Don't go on the ice. You'll only add more weight.
Snow job!
Find something that'll reach.
This branch ought to work.
Remember, frozen ponds and rivers may not be totally frozen.
And we could be skating on thin ice.
Now we know.
And knowing is half the battle.
G.I. Joe!
Now, what's this?
Great campsite. Yeah, here's more wood for the fire.
No, my phones are on fire. Run for the stream.
Don't run. Here, let me wrap this around you. You okay?
Lucky thing you were around, Spirit.
Lucky thing you didn't run. Remember, running only makes the fire worse. If your clothes catch fire, wrap yourself in a rug or blanket.
And roll on the ground to smother the flames. Now we know.
And knowing is half the battle.
Now, who was that?
Spirit, the Native American G.I. Joe.
Oh, okay. All right.
They're skateboarding.
Hi,
everybody.
Guys. Can I skate with you?
Nah, you're just a girl.
No kidding.
Go low.
Let her try. You might be surprised.
Okay, but thanks. Wow, look at that.
Don't judge people till you give them a chance.
Because there's a chance you could be wrong.
Now we know.
And knowing is half the battle.
Who was that?
That was Gung Ho.
What is Gung Ho's special power?
I forget
power?
What Gung Ho's specialty was, other than having an open shirt at all times and a Marines tattoo on his very well-kept chest.
Wait, so he's walking around with an open shirt and a tattoo, but he recognizes people's differences.
He does.
Oh.
Because he's G.I. Joe.
Because he's G.I. Joe.
Seriously, you didn't know half that stuff until this moment.
Yeah. Now I know about that girls can skateboard and I shouldn't walk on ice.
Right.
All right.
And don't run if you're ever caught on fire.
You're on fire. That's right. Okay.
We should point out that Gung Ho,
yeah,
his real name is Etienne Lafitte, was a gunnery sergeant. His primary skills included Rikondo, whatever that is, jungle warfare training. And he was also a member of the Mega Marines.
Oh, man.
I'll never learn to ski, especially if you quit trying.
Scarlet!
You'll never win if you give in.
But I just can't do it.
Can you ride a bike?
Well, sure I can.
But could you at first?
No, I had to practice for weeks.
Now, is that G.I. Joan? What's
that's Scarlet.
Oh, that's Scarlet. Okay.
Yes. I believe was featured in the second G.I. Joe movie.
Oh, she was. I remember the second G.I. Joe movie. Now, those G.I. Joe movies that we're talking about, those are based on the Cobra Kai Danielson stuff. the ones with The Rock and whoever the hell. Who else is in those movies?
Channing Tatum.
Channing Tatum. That's right. Of course. How could I forget Channing Tatum? All right. Is there another one of these?
Bobby, my stomach hurts. Oh, I'll give you some of Dad's medicine.
Oh.
It's real strong stuff.
That is the prescription for danger.
Doc.
Never take medicine without a grown-up present. You could do more harm than good.
What should we do?
If you can, wait for your parents. Or if it's serious, ask a neighbor for help.
Hey, Mom's home.
Now you'll get help.
And now we know what to do next time.
And knowing is half the battle.
G.I. Joe!
All right, so...
Doc was the medic, obviously.
Clearly Doc was the medic. What, were they just going through their dad's medicine cabinet?
Yep.
Say, here, take this. It's Valium. I don't know what it is. Here, take about 10 of them. It'll settle your stomach. All right, fantastic lessons from G.I. Joe and his friends. How many G.I. Joes were there?
That's the thing. They came up with a new one every other episode. So.
Just so they could have another lesson. All right, very important stuff. All right, morning, everybody. How you doing? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate studio on the 7th floor of Trim Tower. And here till 5 o'clock. Steve Grzanich coming up at 5 with your opening bell. And Steve Cochran at 6. And Renee requested Lakeshore Drive. I can't remember who did this song. Who the hell did this song?
Ollie Otto Haynes.
And Huey Jeremiah. And Lewis. And yeah. Okay. There you go. Another definition of a one-hit wonder. from Wildcard Wednesday. Okay, we've got some texts coming in. Brian says, what about micro machines? Not in the hall, Brian, not in the hall. John says, how about Little Green Army Men? Yes, class of 2014. LJ says, what about the wiffle ball and bat? Yeah, no wiffle ball and bat on this list. Should be on the list. Wiffle ball was cool. I used to like the wiffle ball, and then you had the big fat bat, the big fat plastic mm-hmm. bat. That was always fun. Here's Jeff on WGN. Hey, Jeff.
Hello.
Hi.
Hey, did you ever have the G.I. Joe with the Kung Fu grip?
Of course. G.I. Joe with the Kung Fu grip. Yeah, absolutely.
What about a $6 million man?
$6 million man doll was awesome because you could look through the back of his head. He had the bionic eye.
Right.
You could look through the back of his head.
He can take out his bionic parts out of his arm and out of his leg.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember getting that for Christmas. It had to be like 1975 or 1976. And when I got that for Christmas, it was my favorite. It was my favorite toy that I got that Christmas year was the Bionic Man, the $6 million man doll.
Hey, one other toy that they had that was kind of a knockoff of G.I. Joe, do you remember Action Jackson?
Action Jackson, yes, I do. Yes.
That was a shorter version of G.I. Joe. He was only about probably 8 inches tall.
Yeah. And that's what the imitation G.I. Joe became.
Right.
It's Dan's G.I. Joe. They became little and they were full of lessons. Whereas my G.I. Joe was big and full of hand grenades. That's the difference right there. That's the difference.
Did you have a Nerf football? Everybody had a Nerf football.
Well, yeah, we were talking about Nerf, that it's actually nominated this year. And should be in. I think the Nerf needs to go in. Nerf footballs were great.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, Jeff, thanks.
All right, talk to you later.
All right, take care. Kung Fu Grip. Kung Fu Grip. Dan, did any of the... Now, the G.I. Joes of your era, they all did Kung Fu, didn't they? Because I remember seeing a lot... There's a lot of Kung Fu and kicking and stuff in the movies.
Right, yes.
So, but did
we
they...
were well-rounded. My Joe was very
Did you
well-rounded.
Have a favorite G.I. Joe?
Yes. Probably Snake Eyes was my
now,
favorite.
Now, what is Snake Eyes?
A ninja.
Snake Eyes is a ninja.
And Snake Eyes was a ninja.
Did he ever provide a life lesson to children?
No, he did not speak. So,
So
he was not. I don't think. Oh, that would have been a pretty creative, the more you know, G.I. Joe knowing
yeah.
about the battle.
Yeah, he'd maybe like hold up signs and
right,
stuff and
right.
say, hey, don't play with the wires, Roger.
If only Snake Eyes was around.
If only Snake Eyes was around to say, hey,
we've
hey,
avoided all that.
How about, you know, not blowing up the house with the screwdriver and the radio that's plugged in? All right, what else we got here? Let's see. 847 area code says Cuddly Dudley. Well, that Cuddly Dudley.
That was a local.
That's a Ray Rayner invention.
Yeah.
But they used to have little Cuddly Dudleys that were on sale. I used to actually, you know, when I was a kid, I was always fascinated by how Cuddly Dudley, because I knew Cuddly Dudley wasn't real. I knew he was like a puppet, but I was always fascinated by the fact that he could read the letter that Ray Rayner would put in front of him, not knowing that he'd have the real letter behind him while he was operating the puppet.
Yeah.
But I'd be like, how is he reading that letter? Because, you know, Ray would have different letters, like copies of other letters. He'd lay them in front of Cuddly Dudley, and then all of a sudden Cuddly Dudley would start reading them. And I would sit in front of the TV and go, how the hell is he reading? He's a dummy. How can he read that? That's how stupid I was when I was a kid. I never did stick a screwdriver into a live wire.
Oh, come on. How am I supposed to know how the radio works if it's not plugged in? I mean, seriously.
See, G.I. Joe, that's why you needed G.I. Joe. All right. 847 area code says, my sister and I loved Close and Play. It was a record player. Close and Play. A record player.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Close and Play. Close and Play. That's how, when I was a child, we would play Close and Play because room was small. Also, jump rope and pogo sticks. Pogo sticks. No, man. I tried a pogo stick once, almost busted my face.
Very dangerous.
Very dangerous. Anthony says Hot Wheels racetrack with the glow in the dark pinstripes and the Light Bright. Light Bright. How is Light Bright not in the Hall of Fame? How is Light Bright not in the Hall of Fame? How is it not a nominee? Mm.
Did I hear you say Yo-Yo was in?
Yeah, oh yeah. Okay. First year. Canadian Bill. Oh, Canadian Bill. Tatiana Maslany, Maslany thanks you for the Lita Ford. how about lawn darts? Minutes of fun before injury. Those are now illegal. Can't buy lawn darts. You can buy their parts from Canada. You can buy parts from Canada and then you can assemble them
here.
But you can't buy flat out lawn darts in case you wanted to like take somebody's eye out.
You can buy them out of Bill's garage while he's listening to Lita Ford and watching Orphan Black.
Unfortunately, he's in Quebec, but well, no, that's where you get them from, Canada. Get some prescription medication and jarts. And Saga. There it is. And Molson. Kathy says the Flip Wilson doll. Oh my God, the Flip Wilson doll. One side was Flip, the other was Geraldine. Oh, I have to get one of these. I have to get one of those. We have to check online. And see if that's available on eBay. The Flip Wilson doll, one side is Flip, one side is Geraldine. All right, cool.
That's hilarious.
All right, we're out of time.
I got to bring in, next time I'm with you,
yeah,
I got to bring my slot car racing set.
All right.
I still have it.
Okay, bring it in.
And we'll have fun in
it. All right, there you go. Roger, thanks for filling in. Esmeralda, we'll be back tomorrow. All right, we'll take a break. News is coming up next.